Amen. What a wonderful, wonderful day that is going to be when we hear, "Enter in, my good and faithful servant," and that we will be able to be around the throne of our God throughout all eternity. A wonderful, wonderful day that will be. Over the last few weeks, we have been looking at subjects dealing with purity, how to become pure, and how to remain pure. Homosexuality, how God created man, and what he expects man to do, and what he expects man to be. Abortion is murder. Looking at and examining the scriptures on that there is life in the womb, and that a child is a gift from the Lord. And today we are going to be looking at and talking about a slip of the tongue. A slip of the tongue. How many times have you heard it say that slipped out? That slipped out. And how many times have you said that slipped out? Knowing good and well that you meant every word that you said. Or the person that said those words to you meant every word that they said. Being a Christian, God expects us. He commands us to live a certain way, to say things that are pleasing and acceptable unto Him, that individuals may want to honor Him, that they may want to live as you live. And people know who we are. And there are times where we may get into a discussion with someone and somebody may respect you for who you are and they may approach you during that conversation, that heated discussion that you're having with another individual. And they say, "I know that you can't, but let me curse them out for you." And a lot of times we concede to that. And then there are times where we say, I don't need you to speak on my behalf. I'm going to say what is right. I'm going to do the things that are right. And the latter is what we should do. We should always keep our cool. Easier said than done, right? Why? Because of this tongue of ours. We sometimes say things without, again, thinking about what we're saying, or we allow those buttons to be pushed and we just launch out at people. We just go ahead and speak our mind. Sometimes that's a short speech for some of us. Sometimes we just go off and don't know when to be quiet and get ourselves into deeper and deeper trouble. In the seventh grade, I had a problem, and it just didn't start in the seventh grade, and it didn't stop in the seventh grade, but I had a problem with, seems as though with my friends, every sentence that I used, there had to be a curse word in there, and I don't know if, you know, as a matter of fact, I know it didn't make me, you know, any bigger than I was, because I was a little bitty fella, but a assistant principal came up behind me, and because of the discussion that I was having with someone, and he touched me on my shoulder, and before I know it, I had said some words that I shouldn't have said. And he told me to go to the office because of my language, and I had the nerve enough to even argue with him at that point, saying that I did not say what he said that I said, but I did say it. And that is the way we are. We never want anyone to try to straighten us out when we have said things that are wrong or even done things that are wrong, because we want to be in the right. That should not be the case. We should accept it when, you know, someone tells us that we're doing wrong. We should want to change those things. But again, here in the book of James chapter 3, and if you could just read, you know, through the whole chapter, you'll learn a lot from James 3. But we just picked out three verses right here that I want, you know, to be read for the scripture reference, that we may understand again about what God has done, how God has created us, but yet what he expects out of us. God gave us this tongue, but he did not give us the tongue in order to curse men, but he gave us the tongue to bless him and to uplift others. But it says in verse 3 again, in James 3, if we put bits in the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships. Also, though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder. Wherever the will of the pilot directs, so also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. A small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. Now, you tell me that your words don't matter. What comes out of your mouth is not important. That's not what James teaches here, is it? It tells the course of our lives. You know, a lot of people, again, they may sit by and they may not say anything. And that's fine. But then on the other hand, they may say a lot, and that may not be so good. Because the words in which they're speaking is telling exactly who they are, in which direction they're going in. I believe that we need to leave all of those negative things that we think in the back of our minds. Don't let them come to the tongue and allow them to come out. Because the only person to blame when we say things that are not right is self. Nobody can make you do anything. We choose to do what we do. We choose to say what we say. You know, people say, you know, you didn't give that much thought, did you? You've stuck your foot in your mouth. We can go through the scriptures and we can see many times where individuals did not give what they have said much thought. Peter always spoke his mind, I would say. And sometimes the things in which he spoke, He didn't give it much thought. When he denied Christ, or even when he told him, I will never leave you. Well, Peter thought that that was the direction that he would go. But Jesus told him that you would deny me three times before the cock crows. And what did Peter do? Peter denied him three times. And even the final time in which he started denying Christ, he spoke words that he should not have spoken. Where did he learn those words? Where did he learn them? Again, we must understand that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We have heard people say certain things, and as we have heard those things, they are embedded in us. They don't have to come out, but at the appropriate time, it seems as though they will come out. But it doesn't make it right. When Peter began to curse, and I've told you, I'm not with that man. I don't know him. And when the cock crowed, Peter realized what he had said, what he had done. And he went out and wept bitterly. Now I want you to think again about the words in which you have spoken, the words in which we have spoken. And we have not felt a certain way about those things, but the person that we have spoken those words to, or that we spoke those words to, they began to weep because we hurt them by our words. By our words. And we have to realize that the words, when they come out of our mouths, we cannot retract them. They're gone. They're gone. The harm has been done. The hurt has been felt. And the only thing that we can do is ask for forgiveness for what we have said. But a slip of the tongue. In the book of Proverbs, the chapter is 12, the power of the tongue. Yes, the tongue has power. Just as we read there in reference to putting a bit in the horse's mouth, you can guide that horse wherever you want him to go. Hopefully you have the right bit in his mouth in order to do that. Some of you may understand and some of you may not. There are different bits that you can use in order to put in a different type of horse's mouth in order to guide him or her wherever you want him to go. But what about this tongue? How do we control it? How do we control it? We control it by what the Bible says, and we do the things that are right before God in order that we may be the right person and go in the right direction. So Proverbs chapter 12 and the verse is 16. Proverbs chapter 12 and the verse is 16. Talking about the tongue again. The vexation of a fool is known at once, but the prudent ignores an insult. All right, what are we saying here? We're saying that a lot of times when something is said to us, we don't have to say anything back. Our greatest example is Jesus the Christ. When they hurled insults against him, you know, before he was crucified and even when he was being crucified, he didn't revile back against them. He took those things. Why? Because that's what the Father wanted him to do. But here we are, being the foolish people that we are. As soon as somebody says something bad to us, we turn right around and say something bad to them. Because we think that that's what we are supposed to do. No, we're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to look at the example of our Lord, and we're supposed to behave as He behaved. Is it hard? Yes, it's hard. But it's a must if we are to be pleasing to God. to take those insults. People will talk about us. And as they talk about us, what we need to be doing is praying for them. Praying for them. The tongue has the power to speak evil or good. We must think before we speak. And oftentimes it is better to sit and listen than to open one's mouth with foolish talking. Just sit down and listen sometime. But that's hard to do, isn't it? Because we want to be heard. We want to know, you know, we want the person that we're talking to know that we are not just as dumb as we may be thought to be. Yes, you are when you open your mouth sometimes. You really are. You're that foolish person. You know, oh man, look at him. He is smart. Look at him. He is dressed sharp until he opens his mouth. And then there's no limit to what he'll say. So again, we have to understand the power of the tongue. It must be restrained. Must. With man, this is impossible, but with God, it can be done. It can be done now. Now you have this horse out there running the pasture. Just ripping and running, jumping. But you catch that horse and you put a bridle on him. And that bit is in that horse's mouth. Now you can control that horse. He's not going to run like he was running open out there in that field because you are restraining him. He can't do it by himself. He's just out there ripping and running, having a good time. But you put that bit in that horse's mouth and you pull back. Don't pull back too hard now. But you pull back just enough to stop it. You turn it one way and he goes that way. And you turn it another way and he goes that way. The power that the tongue has, we have to allow God to direct us in the right way. We have no idea which way to go. We have no idea what to say. But God knows. He knows the direction that we need to go in. He knows the things that we need to say. And we need to do those things. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19. There are advantages now of holding one's tongue. What's one of the advantages? One of the advantages, it helps us to avoid sin. Avoid sin. Well, how can we avoid sin? You know, I'm going to let you know right now. I'm guilty that when I see some red and blue lights, I'm curious. I want to know what's going on. It may be down at Cecil. And again, before you get to Cecil, there may be a turn that you can make before you get there. I try to get as close as I can from time to time. I want to know what's going on. That's not always the right thing to do, is it? No, it's not, because you may get yourself in trouble. But if we look at what the Bible says, we can avoid sin by having our tongue restrained by what God says. Amen. Proverbs 10, verse 19. When words are many, transgression is not lacking. But whoever restrains his lips is prudent. Again, when words are many now, transgression is not lacking. You're going to go any way you want to go. And you're going to go as far as you want to go. Because you're saying just about anything that comes to your mind. And as you pick up things along the way, you say those things as well. Where did you hear those words? How did you learn to speak like that? This is not good words. This is not, you know, speaking in an eloquent manner. These are things that God is displeased with. That's taking you down the wrong road. So pay attention to what you hear. And most definitely pay attention to what you speak. For it will help us to avoid sin. Proverbs 21:23. It keeps us out of trouble. Your mouth is going to get you in a whole lot of trouble. Have you ever been told that? And have you ever, did it come to pass? You know, some young people still have not, you know, learned this yet. And some older people have learned it, but they have forgotten it. See, You know, just because you're old doesn't mean that your mouth will not get you into trouble. It will still get you in trouble. But if we listen to God and do the things that are right, if we keep our tongue, it will keep us out of trouble. Proverbs 21, verse 23. Whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble. Just as simple, right? Zip it. Don't say anything. It'll keep you out of trouble, you know. And I'm not telling you to say, I plead the fifth. Because a lot of times when you say you plead the fifth, they already know you're guilty. Just don't say nothing. Don't say a word. I've been in that situation before. I was guilty of doing something and somebody was talking to me and they was asking me some questions. I didn't say a word. Why? Because I knew if I opened my mouth, I would get myself into more trouble. You want me to share with you what I did? No. But I did not open my mouth. Why? Because I understood the importance of silence at that time. I had to learn that. And we all would benefit from learning that. It would keep us out of trouble. I was listening to the little Monday news that Dante and them do at school, and they said, what's easy to get into and hard to get out of? Trouble. Trouble is easy for us to get there, but hard to get out of it. There are consequences that we have to pay for doing the things that are wrong. And our tongue has allowed us to get into a whole lot of trouble. And there are consequences that has to be paid. So let's do what's right. Let's keep looking at God's word and keep doing the things that are pleasing to Him. There's a great need to bridle the tongue. A great need to bridle the tongue. A lot of people don't understand this. A lot of people don't want to accept this. But there is a great need to bridle the tongue. And what happens is this, that people say, you can't tell me what to say. That's true, we can't. But somebody need to. Who are you going to listen to? Listen to God. Listen to God and allow Him to tell you then, since you don't want man to tell you, which God has given us the right to tell you. James chapter 3 again. James chapter 3, verse 1. James 3 and the verse is 1. Understand again that we need to bridle our tongue. We need to say the things that are right before God and before others. It says in James chapter 3, verse 1, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. Able to bridle his whole body. And we read those other verses. If we put bits in the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. So if you're able to bridle your tongue, then you're doing well. A lot of people, you know, that little phrase, I just have to say what I want to say when I want to say it. Why? Because it hurts to bite my tongue. See, a lot of us need to bite our tongues. We don't just say whatever we want to say. We do what's right. We allow our bodies to be going in the right direction and not the wrong direction. So it has power to control the whole body. What has? The tongue has power to control the whole body. Which way is your body going today? What are you allowing your tongue? Where are you allowing your tongue to lead you? In Matthew chapter 12, verse 34 and 35, it tells what's in the mind of man. It tells what's in the mind of man. Why are you thinking those things? I can't read your mind. Well, why would someone ask you, why are you thinking those things? Because you have spoken them. They've come out. They're no longer in the back of your mind, but you have allowed them to come to your tongue, and you allow them to come out of your mouth, which it should not be so. But it happens. It happens. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure brings forth evil. So you're evil. How can you speak what's good? You're good. Why should you speak what's evil? See, we need to do what's right. We need to think about the things in which we're going to say. And we need to say those things, again, that are right before God. So again, well, what we speak tells exactly who we are. So can you think now for a second, the last time you said some things that you should not have said? Can you think about those things? I'm pretty sure we all can. And what did you do about that? Did you ask God to forgive you? Did you ask that person to forgive you? Or are you just waiting for the opportunity to say those things again? Because you are an evil person. There's nothing good about you. So therefore, the fruit that you show is not good. Proverbs 17. The things that we say gives a person a positive view of us. And that positive view is not always a good thing. That means that they have hit it right on that nail right on the head. They know exactly who we are now. They're 100% positive about that we are no good because of the words in which we have spoken. That's that positive view. I want you to understand that. Or they may say, he's a good person because I've listened to him and I understand what he's saying because I not only listen to him, but I watch how he lives. And he's living in the right way. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 27. Whoever restrains his words has knowledge. And he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. Even a fool. That's saying a lot, isn't it? You know, so that person has actually learned when to speak and when not to speak. In some cases. But again, by restraining our tongue, it gives people a positive view of who we are. Who are you? What is man thinking about you? What do they know about you? What have you revealed to them? Again, God has given us his word. So therefore, we need to look at it and we need to do the things that's right. Again, once a word is spoken, it cannot be taken back. You ever heard of a man being shot? And the reason that he was shot was because when that bullet left that gun, that it could not be retrieved? That's this word, the words that we speak. You know, the brother, as he was making the announcements this morning, he mentioned about the website. All the sermons that we preach, you know, are posted on the website. Whether they, you know, have mistakes in them or not, they're posted on the website. Right, Brother Glenn? Where you at? Yep, he said, yep. Brother Glenn, don't put that out there because I didn't mean to say those things. It's out there. I spoke that word. It's already gone. But we have to understand that if it's something wrong, yes, we can correct it. But it's gone. It's out there. See, people say, why did you say that? Well, when I said it, I meant it. But it was wrong. Now I've studied it. I know that it was wrong. I'm going to correct it. The word is spoken. Psalm 55, verse 12. Psalm 55, verse 12. For it is not an enemy who taunts me. Then I could bear it. It is not an adversary who deals insolently with me. Then I could hide from him. But it is you, a man of my equal, my companion, my familiar friend. We used to take a sweet counsel together within God's house. We would walk in the throne. See, these are things we do with one another. But, you know, when we look at this and we examine this, we find that there are times where our friends are really not our friends. They say things to us to hurt us. They say things to us to bring us down. They say things behind our backs. And that's okay. Because the very ones that crucified Jesus, they talked about him. Again, he's our greatest example. You know, one that could save many, but yet he cannot save himself. What did Jesus do? Jesus stayed on the cross. So what do we do when people talk about us? Do we stoop to their level? Or do we rise? And we hold our heads high. And we continue to live the way God wants us to live. Continue to do the things that God wants us to do. Do not allow to have a slip of the tongue, but say things that are right. Say things that are pleasing unto God. Are you using your tongue? How are you using your tongue? Again, Proverbs 16:24. Are you using your tongue to speak those things that are sweet to the soul? Or are you saying those things that will bring somebody down, that will bring somebody to the point of no return, to bring somebody to say, I do not want to become a child of God because this person that says that they are a Christian has said something that hurt me. That's not who we are. Speak words that are sweet to the soul. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 24. Proverbs 16, verse 24. Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul, and health to the body. Gracious words. Speak words that one desires to hear. That one desires to hear. You know, a lot of times when we talk about, you know, I'm not going to tell you what you want to hear. I'm going to tell you what you need to hear. And in this case right here, speak words that one desires to hear. Proverbs 25, verse 11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. Just stands out. Man, you always say the right thing at the right time. That's good to hear, isn't it? Someone giving you that compliment that you have said something to make them think about what they're doing and how they're doing it. Something that has allowed them in their down moment to rise up and to say that this is a good day. Regardless of what's going on, it is a good day. They're like gold setting in a setting of silver. That right word. And then in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 4, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 4. Bad language is displeasing to God. Bad language is displeasing to God. Ephesians 5, verse 4. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which is out of place. But instead, let there be thanksgiving. Let's not participate in the bad joke telling. Let's not, you know, be around the water cooler, participating in those jokes that people tell and laughing. You know, sometimes we say, well, I'm not participating in that joke. I'm not even listening to it. But when you hear that joke, you're over there laughing at your desk. No, God is still displeased. Still displeased. So let's do what's right. Let's get up and let's dismiss ourselves and go to where we won't hear those things, or make sure we tell them, no, I don't want to hear it. Don't talk around me like you're talking, because those things are not right. Psalm 19, verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. What I say, what I do, as I stay in your word, let me grow stronger. Let me be the person that you want me to be. How can we do this? Consider these verses right here. That if we look at the scriptures and we do the things that are right, we will say what is right. I can't believe that you was able to contain yourself. I can't believe that you didn't, just haul off and go off on that person. Believe it. Because I want to honor God. I want to allow my light to shine that people may see my good works and glorify the Father who is in heaven. That's chapter 5, verse 16. I want to do what's right. And we need to continue to do what's right. We need to continue to be the people that God wants us to be. Maybe you're here today and you're not a Christian. Maybe you haven't learned how to control your tongue. Maybe you have not allowed God's word to direct you in the right spot, the right way. Let it happen today. Become a child of His by hearing the word of God, by doing the things that are right, by gaining faith in what God has said and what God wants us to do. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let us understand that. You know, we want to blame everybody for the condition that we're in. Because we don't want to believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that Jesus came to this world to live among sinners. And that He gave His life that we may be, the people that He wants us to be. To become part of the family of God. John 8:24. Except ye believe that I am He, you would die in your sins. How can we not die in our sins? We can repent. We can be the people that God wants us to be. We can have a change of mind. We can have a change of heart. We can go into a different direction. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And then instead of, confessing that we are part of the world, let us confess that Jesus is the Son of God. And that He's the one that came to give His life that we may be able to live, that we may be saved. In Matthew 10:32 and Romans 10:10, let us make that confession. And then let us be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all things, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And you know one of those things that has been commanded? Watch what you say. Hold your tongue. Make sure you analyze those thoughts. You know, people say bad input is bad output. Again, it's not what goes in, it's what comes out. It's not what goes in, it's what comes out. You sitting there, you're typing up your paper, you're doing this and you're doing the other. All this is going into that computer. Nobody knows what's in there until it comes out. No one knows what's going on in your mind right now, Brother Theophilus, but you and God. Your wife can't even read your mind. She would probably wish she could at times. But what's in your head is in your head. But when it comes out, everybody knows. Everybody knows. So you want to become a child of God today? Repent and be baptized. Those that have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That's what Paul teaches the church there of Galatia in Galatians 3:27. As many of you that have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And then, you know, we have to grow. You know, you're not the person you used to be. You're absolutely right. I'm a better person. Because I'm a child of God now. And I realize the importance of growing. I realize the importance of continuing to stay in the Word. Looking at what He wants us to do. Learning about our Savior. Studying His Word day in and day out. How much time do you spend studying the Word of God? How much time do you allow yourself to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? See, there's a lot that we may not know. But there's a lot that we can know. There are many people that are sitting here right now probably have forgotten more of God's word than some of us will ever learn. But that does not say that we should not grow. The word tells us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then we have to be faithful. We have to be faithful until the very end. No matter what we are going through, we need to be faithful. No matter who comes up against us, we need to be faithful. Be thou faithful unto the death, and I will give thee a crown of life. We may never win an award here upon this earth, but if you die faithful, you can have a crown of life, a crown of righteousness, something that nobody can ever take away from you. So let's do what's right. If you're here and you're not a Christian and you want to become one, come and make the confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and have your sins washed away in the water of grave of baptism, rising to walk a newness of life. And if you're here and you're straight away, we ask you to come back as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.